Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you look at Alonso's numbers over this 10-game stretch, it is a direct correlation of the Mets' failures. They are 1-9. Pete Alonso was struck out 16 times with just 2 extra base hits and 1 RBI. That's not going to get the job done. The Mets right now are in a spot where they need their stars, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, to produce runs for that offense, and Pete Alonso was not coming through.
It's getting dangerously bad fast for the Mets, okay? So, Alonso's been ice cold. It almost doesn't matter, Sal. I'm going to say this until they do something. And if they don't do something, at this point, I'm starting to think there's a chance the Mets won't even be a playoff team. And that is, they better make a big trade. They don't have a catcher. They don't have a third baseman. They don't have a DH. I don't love second base. So, I'm not going to push back and say Alonso's been good. And by the way, Lindor's got to take some dents as well. I know he had a couple of hits last night, but when you go hitless in Atlanta, which he did, you know, you're also part of the current problem. Although I think the difference is there's more of a track record with Lindor as opposed to Pete, of course, who had 2 down years. And Pete came out of the gates flying. He was hitting home runs. He was benefiting from Soto's presence. He was doing really well. And now he's fallen back into the trap of flailing at the outside stuff, missing the fastballs. Pete is a problem, but what's behind Pete is very much, I think, the biggest problem on the Mets. Their lineup stinks.
Yeah, right now that's the case, but I don't believe that's going to be an issue when Vientos comes back, when Winker comes back, and I think they will make moves to upgrade a little bit. You can't survive with automatic outs. And by the way, Jeff McNeil is a part of the problem as well. But the issue is Pete Alonso should be held to a higher standard. I'm not the one who said Pete for MVP. Others have said Pete Alonso MVP. Okay, well, is that an MVP? Having the at-bats that he's having? Now, it's a 10-game stretch, and he carried them through the course of April, sure. But when they're 1-9 over 10 games, they desperately need a win within their division against the Braves, against the Phillies. Pete Alonso has been nowhere to be found. So it doesn't mean that Pete stinks. It doesn't mean he's not going to regain his form. What it means is over the course of these 10 games, how the Mets are built, they need Pete Alonso to produce, especially now with that lineup depleted. See, my issue is not with the bottom of the order because that's not how the team was designed. They were built differently at the bottom of the order. They've been hit hard by injury right now. So the guys that are here that can produce have to produce. And Alonso's the one, the main one, who was producing and is not. That's why I think that's a bigger issue.
Listen, I was happy for Pete, and I was one of those guys who said that Pete was going to have a big, big year. Yeah. And then I even pushed it to where I thought he was going to be top 3 in the MVP. And if he gets hot again, I still think that that's on the table. But one thing that I never, ever wavered from, you never once heard me say, Pete's got to be, keep him here 6, 7 years. I got some clarification. Yeah. Those who were calling the station, those who were espousing on the station, come on, Cohen, do the right thing. Give Pete 6, 7, 8 years. You still want to do that? See, the problem with Pete Alonso is that he's a one-tool guy. He is a one-trick pony. Can't run, can't really field, can't hit for average for the most part. When he barrels one up, he hits absolute moonshots. That's it.
Yeah.
But I think that the allure and the fandom and the sentimentality of Pete and the renaissance that we saw in the first 2 months of the season really distorted how people should view Pete Alonso. He is still an incredibly flawed player.
Right. Now, even if he did complete an MVP season, I would still have some doubts about if he can do that again because he was doing things that he's never done before. Everybody, to a person, said that this is the best version we've ever seen of Pete Alonso. Well, now all of a sudden he's starting to come back down to earth, which is fine. Like, he's allowed to have a slump. This is not, Pete Alonso stinks, the Mets got to get rid of him. No, what it's saying is they desperately need him now to do something close to what he's been doing the majority of the year of this 10-game stretch. And he hasn't done that. And that is a direct correlation of them losing. I'll take it a step further. One of the reasons why I'm more concerned about Pete, and I said this, by the way, a week ago over the Rays series, I was more alarmed with his at-bats. Mm-hmm. Forget even the numbers, just because he was starting to do things that was like old Pete, chasing and just not looking disciplined, is, to the way that he had that much success earlier in the year. I believe when they get Vientos back, when they get Winker back, that's going to help lengthen out that lineup. I believe they're going to make a move or two to upgrade the bottom of that order. You can't, like right now, they got guys that don't belong in the big leagues, too many of them all at once. There are circumstances around that, and they can't survive much longer, but I think they'll be able to figure that out. Vientos, Winker, all of a sudden, okay, well, that's now those guys are going to have to produce, but all of a sudden, that's two more legit bats instead of, say, Young and Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can live with the catcher spot being whatever it is. Maybe you get Alvarez back, you know, down the road, and he comes back and produces, and I do think they're going to add another bat. That should help soften the blow from what has been a brutal bottom four or five even in that lineup. I'm not so sure Pete Alonso was ever going to do what he did in April or the beginning of May again. And that's where you keep talking about a big move. If Pete Alonso is not close to what he was in April or May, then maybe they do have to make a big move.
Well, the problem with the Mets, and again, I did say this yesterday, is that everything's leaking right now. And when everything's leaking, everything seems maybe a little worse than it is.
Yeah.
I think that this is one of those situations where I don't think it's really misleading. I think that, unfortunately, this is kind of, right now, I think who the Mets are going to be for a little bit. Their starting pitching's not doing anything. Their bullpen was pretty good last night. They got a couple of good arms out there.
Even Blackmon was fine. Like, he gave up three runs. All right, it happened.
Yeah, but even the way he's got to nibble with that. See, old night that Torrance was trying to stick that out. I don't like his stuff.
I know,
he's
but 92, put it this
93. He's nibbling.
I'm not saying I love
his
stuff.
And he's been rocked. Not last night, but the four times before that, going back to the Colorado finale, where he came up when they were up 20-0, basically. He couldn't get it out.
But that's why I'm saying last night he was fine. Like, from Paul Blackburn, who was a...
He had five walks and three innings.
But three runs in 4 2/3. I would have signed on the dotted line for that going into that game last night.
I mean, but they also fair enough. But they also had a couple of line drives that went right to Met defenders, which one was in the gap right at Brandon Nimmo, one was right at Alonso. Bottom line is Blackburn's not going to be a piece of this puzzle in a meaningful way. And if he is, then the Mets are even, I think, worse off than I think. But I know there's reinforcements coming. So eventually pitching. So Blackburn's going to eventually be pushed aside. But right now, the starting pitching is not very good. The reliefs, a couple of relievers worry me. You know, I don't love the defense, and the offense to me, and this is symptomatic around baseball. We'll get to the Yankees later. Yankees are pretty much a one-man team. Judge goes, they go. Judge doesn't, they don't. And that's an old, tired story that's bothering me from a Yankee perspective. But the Mets are really no different. They're maybe a little different in the sense that they've got bigger names. But I think we're tripping over ourselves when we go and we push those, like, the Mets top of the order, like, as some elite all-time top three or top four. I know Nimmo's hot. I don't love him. I never will. Soto, I get it. Pete's hit 215, 220 the last couple of years with a ton of strikeouts. And, you know, you've seen some fluctuations with Lindor, although last year from now on, he was phenomenal. But again, not that he's been as bad as Pete. But Lindor, like, it's not just Pete Alonso. The problem is he's the last checkpoint when you get to, all right, you get through Lindor, you navigate Soto, which is obviously hard. Once you get by Pete, it is simple. I'm almost of the mindset, I might flip Pete and get Soto back there.
Well, I'm not moving Soto right now because he's red hot. I'm not moving Lindor. Obviously, you'd keep him there. That's why I'm getting on PPTs, because he's supposed to be part of that big three. Their big three. That's how they're built.
But he's not. He's not that guy, Sal.
Okay. I'm not saying that he is.
He's not that guy.
I'm not saying that he is.
Yeah.
But he was playing out of his mind the first month, and the team was having success. Even with the rest, Soto was doing nothing when he first got here for a month and a half.
And Lindor was hot.
Okay,
Lindor came out shoot.
All right, but
came out of the shoot.
But Lindor's been probably the most consistent offensive player, even though he had a little bit of a dip off. And, you know, he didn't get a hit against Atlanta. Still, dating back to last year in the leadoff spot, he's been their most reliable piece consistently. Soto now is on fire. Alonso is ice cold. When Soto was cold, Alonso was on fire. They have yet to click all three of those guys. I believe in Lindor being an MVP-type offensive player. I certainly believe in Juan Soto being an MVP-type offensive player. I do not believe Pete Alonso is what he was in April and May. I was hoping that he would put it all together, maybe the Soto effect, maybe the walk year, like proving himself. He looked great, and now all of a sudden, now it's only been 10 games. That's the good news, and he is going to hit home runs. He's going to produce runs. But is he going to do it to the level of being that third legitimate, consistent bat, especially now when they need him? Because to your point, behind him, they've got nothing right now.
It falls off a cliff here. There's just too much pressure on him to have to be that final checkpoint. As I said, I don't think he's built that way to always give you competitive at-bats against good pitchers who know how to pitch and get you out. It's almost like right now Pete's getting himself out, which has been the problem the last 2 years. You know, really expanding the zone. And one of the reasons that I like Pete early is that it looked like he tightened up some flaws in his swing. Now, Listen, this happens to Aaron Judge. I mean, this happens to, and you name any great hitter, it's going to happen over the course of 162 where you got to get back in the lab. All right, I'm falling back into this habit. Let me tighten it up. Oh, they're doing this. Here's the pitch patterns again. All right, let me now adjust to them. Baseball is a constant stream of adjustments, but this is not a down week or 10 days for Pete Alonso. If you look at the last 2.5 seasons, The good start was really the outlier. So the Mets have offensive issues, and the longer they wait, the longer they're going to lose.
Yeah, I don't think that they can wait till July 31st.
I said this yesterday. Well, people thought I'm nuts.
No, you were saying the big move. I don't think they need a big move.
I do.
Again, that's a different conversation. I don't think they need a big move here. And even if they did, is that going to change everything? Like, it's not. They need to lengthen out the lineup, but it's just right now they're taking on water. So for me, you can't take on too much water, especially when you're talking about ancillary pieces. Like, they should be able to go out there and upgrade, let's just say, Cedric Mullins. They should be able to do that sooner than later. They cannot run this bottom four out there for another month hope that it's going to work, especially with the pitching being that the way that it is.
Yeah.
They need, now, Vientos coming back is going to help.
If he hits.
Yeah, well.
If he hits.
Well, I mean, it's a big if. And if not, then they're going to have bigger problems. But at least you get a bat back that they were relying on to be good.
Yeah.
Same thing with Winker. I'm not sure of his timeline, but when he comes back, that will help. But if those guys aren't coming back or they're not producing, then they're going to have real problems. It's not urgent to me to make a move. Certainly not a big move, but they can't last like this much longer. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Javier is in Comac. What's up, Javier?
Hi, good morning, Sal. I got to push back on the whole Pete Alonso thing. You know, you can't put all that on his shoulders because, just like BT said, he's not that guy to carry the team. If anything, Juan Soto is. And you're the biggest Juan Soto apologist that I've heard on the radio so far. No, you weren't pushing back on him like you were on okay. Pete Alonso.
Okay,
right?
First of all, don't compare the two players. That's number one. Juan Soto's on another level than Pete Alonso. Number two,
absolutely.
Number two, you've got your facts messed up. I was the first person in this town to criticize Juan Soto.
I didn't say you weren't. I'm just
you just said I was not on Soto, and I've been hard on Alonso. So you're wrong, my friend.
Not as hard as you are on Pete Alonso, I'm saying right now. I didn't say that you weren't hard on Soto. I did hear that. I know. Don't get that mistaken. But he'll come around. He's going to come around. He's going to come around.
And track record, Javier. Don't you think
so?
Don't you think Soto's deserved or earned a little benefit of the doubt?
Sure. And what about Pete Alonso?
Not to the extent of Juan Soto. I mean, a bad season, a bad average for Juan Soto is a really good year for Pete. It's different.
I get that. But all I'm saying is,
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Just that Pete Alonso is not that guy. He's not the one to carry the team. You know, Juan Soto is. That's why he's getting paid all the money that he is.
Right.
But then again, he struck out, you know, when it counted last night. So, you know, he can't do it all either.
Okay, I'm not sure what you're saying, Javier. Do you have a problem with Pete Alonso or not? Like, I'm going over this 10-game stretch. BT and I are talking about the biggest reasons for why the Mets have been struggling in the last 10 games, in which they're 1-9. I gave you the numbers
on
Alonso.
Saying,
go ahead.
I'm just saying it's not all on him. You know, it's a collective thing. You know, they all have their flaws. That's why, you know, Juan Soto struck like last night when it really counted, when it could have helped him out.
Javier, he hit a two-run homer last night. Good God, over a pitcher that they couldn't sniff. And Soto had a big two-run homer. What, is he going to come through in every big at-bat? I would have loved to have seen it. I believed in Soto. I was hoping he was going to get a big hit there. And I knew this, BT. If he didn't get the job done, the Mets were not going to win the game.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
was it. When he went down, unfortunately, he got beat. It happened.
That was a good at-bat, too. And by the way, that's a tough, not to make an excuse, yeah. he did strike out, but that was a tough lefty-lefty matchup. I believe there were six sliders in a row.
Yeah, and then he threw,
and then he threw the one fastball 97, which Soto fouled off, and then I believe he eventually struck out on the slider.
Good at-bat. Hey,
Yeah. I mean, he was right in it. I mean, he didn't deliver, but it's baseball. You're not good at deliver every time, but he put up the only two runs of the night.
I mean, come on.
McNeil's hitting 240. Taylor's hitting 227. Young, why is Young on the team? Young's hitting 150.
Well, that's the point. He shouldn't be here.
He should not be.
But they're ravaged by injury.
No, I know. I get that. Torrance hitting 221 and Brett Beatty's hitting 216. Like, again, I'm going to use the term checkpoint again. If Pete Alonso's the final checkpoint, which he is the way this lineup is set up right now, before the lineup falls off the cliff, that is a massive problem for the Mets. When you couple the fact, starting pitching all of a sudden. Yeah. Now, last night, Blackburn at least kept them in a game, but their team ERA, the last time and a half through the rotation, is over seven.
Yeah.
So they're falling behind early, don't have the offensive sticks right now to get back into a game. Like, it's ugly. There's no denying it's ugly. I guess the question is to what degree do you believe what we're watching is it more real or not? That's the question.
Okay, bingo. So now from there, because I'm not blaming just Pete Alonso for this stretch, but when you say, well, how the hell are the Mets 1-9? Obviously, it's a variety of factors, but Pete Alonso, who was carrying them for a month and a half of the year, has cooled off and he's been brutal in this 10-game stretch. Doesn't mean that he's going to continue, but to your point, okay, what's real, what isn't? I still believe that they'll figure it out with pitching, even like they did last night with Blackburn, who's not very good, but he wasn't the problem last night. They'll do enough with the pitching, especially getting guys back like Manaea, hopefully Senga not too far away, whether it's after the All-Star break, whatever it may be. They'll get those guys back. So I'm okay with the starting pitching. I'm okay with the bullpen, and I also trust they'll get an arm or two, whatever, in the bullpen. The lineup's the biggest issue for me and the biggest concern. I'm not concerned about the bottom of the order because what you see now is not what it's going to be, maybe not in a week, maybe not in 2 weeks, certainly not in a month from now. So, but now, again.
But the guy's coming back. There's no guarantee. Like, Vientos is in the middle of a bad season. So I know the way it sounds good. Hey, Vientos good last year, and I like the kid, but there's no guarantee he comes back and he rakes. I mean, he might be hitting 220 like Beatty.
Correct, and that would be another problem. But at least he's a legitimate bat that you trusted from a year ago, certainly an upgrade over what they have now. But yes, that's a different problem if he comes back and is not what they thought. I'm also factoring in not only Vientos coming back, Winker coming back, and them getting a bat or two. They're going to have to. Like, that's non-negotiable. Said that for a while, that they needed an outfield bat. I'm not talking about big bat. I'm just talking about a professional bat.
Yeah, but they got to get it now. That's what I've been saying for a while. Guys, there are too many holes right now, and I understand. Although one thing I think is nuts, and I've heard this a lot on the station over the weekend, like callers, and even I just heard a lot on the radio. Oh, would he expect an all-star at every position? No, but I think World Series teams and teams with World Series aspirations have a few more sure things. Like there's a balance between having, you know, five all-stars and having five guys who really don't deserve to play every night, and that's where the Mets currently are. Once you move that more to the middle, maybe you have two, three all-stars, and maybe two guys who shouldn't play every night. Well, now you got a team that could actually do some damage. But right now, this is untenable. The Mets are going to keep, I'm not saying they're going to lose 15 in a row. They are not going to win consistently with this trash lineup that they're trying out. This lineup stinks.
Okay, so now, I like that you
and
say,
Mendoza knows it, because he said it last night for the first time.
Right.
He's protected his players. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but he's been doing a good job, a good balance of, you know, protecting his players. But last night, he basically looked in the camera and said, these guys got to wake up. They got to start hitting. And he actually said the bottom of the order, like,
oh, look at it.
Gloves were off. Now, we all know, but the fact that he said it, I respect that he said that.
Okay.
Because we all know what we're seeing.
Now, when you talk about sure things, right?
Yeah.
That, to me, is more looking at Nimmo, Alonso, McNeil. Three guys that have been here for a while, that fans rely on and count on, and when they're at their peak, it's all great. But when they're not, which is too often, there's a lot of inconsistencies with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. That's why I'm not focused on the bottom of the order, because I think it's easy to go higher than what they're getting right now from the bottom of the order, which is nothing. So even if Winker comes back and he's not great, he's still going to be better than Young. Even Vientos with his struggles, still going to be better than, you want to throw in Beatty, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Like, I still trust that. The guys that they get, Cedric Mullins, will be better than what they're getting from Tyrone Taylor. I'm not sure about what they have as their sure things, whether it's Alonzo, Nimmo, or McNeil. That's where they might have to start to evaluate that and say, maybe we need to a trade to shake it up. If this continues and they lose 3 out of 4 to the Braves or get swept by the Braves here, then I'm going to be on board with really making a change. Then I'll be with you with a big trade. I don't think though that right now they need a big trade. They need their guys to actually produce and be sure things. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Knicks and Yankees later on, but we're focused on the Mets, who are in a major rut. They have lost 9 of 10 games.
All right, I'm going to tell you, get off the lawn here. It's coming. I mean, can the Mets put one in the back of Acuña at some point? The gyrations and the dancing drives me absolutely nuts. And I'm not going to really waste much time on that because I know it's a different generation. It doesn't happen. Everybody's buddy-buddy. Even going back to the Sunday night with Soto and Realmuto when he goes up to home plate, talking about the chess match and the smiles. That stuff does bother me, but it is what it is, and it's not going to change, even though I wish that it would. Here's what I think is very interesting right now with the Mets, and I hear you on Alonzo. You know where I stand on the overall need to make a big, big trade, and we'll get back to the phones. This is a pivotal point for Mendoza. Not where... he's going to get fired.
Right.
He's got to change the energy of this team. Now, last year was very unique in the sense, you know, you had some of the gimmicks, which we laughed about, with the grimace and the OMG and the dances and all. But it worked, okay? And the clubhouse was together. And by no means am I saying that they're not together, but they're not projecting.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Any sort of nightly energy or togetherness. And if the team's not doing it, now it's kind of up to the manager to try to set a bit of a different verbal tone. And I thought that he did last night in the postgame because I thought Mendoza, you know, and Boone does the same thing. And sometimes I wish they'd go Billy Martin and just call guys out and go nuts. But it's not going to happen because they're too sensitive, these young athletes. And the managers know that. And Mendoza, up until last night, always protects his guys. He didn't railroad his guys last night. But he said, yeah, I mean, our bottom of the order, not getting the job done, basically got to wake up. Like, it was the first true shot to me across the bow, and I thought it was a well-timed, very necessary one. So I commend him, and I applaud him for that. But the other thing, you take on the personality of your manager, and right now, and I like Mendy. I don't want to get that twisted. I believe in him, and I like him. But this Mets team right now seems a little too accepting of the substandard degree of baseball that they're playing. And that's got to change. And I think Mendy's got to do something. What it is, I don't know. He's the manager. He's got to change it because the players aren't taking it right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. Alonzo said something, I think it was Friday in Philadelphia, that he would say we're not playing up to our standards of what we expect. So he was holding the team accountable and himself, which I thought was good. Mendy did it last night, which I like. That's honesty, saying like basically it's the first 4 guys in the lineup right now.
Yeah.
We got to get somebody at the bottom of the order. I would look at it more, this is on Stearns. David Stearns, who has proven to have a, I don't want to say short fuse, but a you know, he's not going to deal with the, not like cutting Wendell a year ago. If guys aren't performing.
Yeah. That was quick, yeah.
Yeah, if Narvaez, whatever it was a year ago. Like, if guys aren't performing, he's not going to tolerate that. That's why I kind of give him a little bit of a pass because they're just hit hard all at once by injury. That's what this is. This is not, now if it were healthy Winker and Vientos and Alvarez and all that stuff that weren't all performing at once, okay, maybe different story. But they just sent Alvarez down. That's the way to hold him accountable, right? You're not going to let that flail anymore.
Yep.
Vientos is hurt. Winker's hurt. Okay, so Stearns may need to do something now. Go find somebody off the scrap heap, whether it's somebody that's making a lot of money on another team that's just sitting there that you could use to put it. Like, they need to try to survive this stretch here, and they can't with the guys that they have. Like, this is not on Mendoza to me. It's on the players that they have. I don't think McNeil is as good as everybody thinks. Tyrone Taylor I love, but obviously the more he plays, the more he's going to be exposed. Young should not be the DH. You tell me the Mets can't go out and find somebody off the scrap heap that could be a more viable option on at DH, and then when guys start to return, you can put them on the bench. Like, there's got to be some kind of option here that they could go try to catch, even if it's for a 10-day stretch.
Yeah.
They need something to
be done. They
need
juice. They need juice. But that's what I'm saying. They need juice, and I don't know where it's coming from. Like, Pete's not going to provide juice. If Soto is a great hitter, but he's very methodical and robotic and just kind of, you know, wrapped up in his day-to-day preparation, which works for him. And then everybody else just kind of seems like, and Lindor's got flash and pizzazz when he's going well, obviously, and he's a really good player. But everybody else looks like a zombie right now. Now, you said that it's on Stearns, and I don't necessarily disagree, but there's really not, outside of a trade,
right,
there's nothing Stearns can do right now, which is why I'm saying the impact's got to come from within.
What would you do if you're Mendy?
I might shake up the lineup, man. Like, I might radically shake up the lineup here, because what you're rolling out here is just awful once you get past that point that we all know. It's way too early in terms of where that point hits you. So I would really mix it up. And I'll give you a specific recommendation in a moment. I will. But what I would say, too, is right now, and the Mets aren't alone with this, but the Mets are allowing their performance to dictate their attitude. They got to start making their attitude dictate their performance. Like, the Braves, the level of energy, and I don't want to say interest, because I know that the Mets want to win, but that palpable, discernible energy, the Braves suddenly have it, and the Mets suddenly seem to have no spirit, and that's got to change. From the lineup perspective, I'll tell you what, I'm putting Pete, too.
Yeah.
I know that you say that you wouldn't mess around and with Soto and Pete, and I get that.
Well, Soto and Lindor I would not touch.
No, I'm definitely going to keep Lindor 1. There's no question about that. Now, I was on the Vientos train. Hey, Lindor 1, Vientos 2, Soto 3, Pete 4 back in the spring. Mm-hmm. Vientos isn't here yet. He didn't play well, so we'll have to see what happens there. I'm going Lindor, I'm going Alonso, and then I'm going number 3. I'm going to go Soto, and number 4, I'm going to go Nimmo. All right, I get it. Lefty, lefty, possibly problematic matchups, whatever. But I've got to mix something up here. It's not working, and there's nobody else good enough that justifies moving into the top 4 spots. You want to tell me against a righty, if McNeil gets hot, put him in the 2 spot for a night, whatever. I mean, I'm not really doing that, but I'd move Pete up to the 2 spot, see what happens.
Yeah, I not that I'd be opposed to that. I don't think that that's going to make or break this team. I mean, it's like arranging the chairs on the Titanic.
But you got to still try before it goes to the bottom of the ocean floor.
No, and Nimmo's benefited here in the second hole, so I'd leave him alone, because you're getting a decent production 1-2-3 and hope that those guys could click a little bit more. And it's just been 10 games for Alonso. They need to shake it up by bringing in at least another bat, whether that's Vientos back, which can change things. Now, maybe you want to move Vientos into the 2-hole when he comes back away.
He's got to earn that. To me, he's got to earn that. Like, at least Pete's got a resume. And you know, Vientos, I wanted to do it in February and March.
I need to get him going, though, man.
I know you, but yeah, I mean, that's another school of thought. Maybe the way to get him going is to sandwich him with Lindor and Juan. And that was my thought process, really, in the winter, where the adjustments around the league for year 2 for Vientos, maybe that's a way to kind of circumvent that and to ease the transition. But he looked so lost at the plate, I can't put him 2.
Think about this. Vientos, Alvarez, Winker. Those are 3 coming into the year viable, legit bats that the Mets were relying on. Vientos proved himself a year ago. Alvarez proved himself a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And Winker's just a solid pro.
Mm-hmm.
All 3 of those, for a variety of reasons, have been total, total busts and zeros this year. Now, Winker obviously hurt. Vientos, a little bit of both. Alvarez, same thing, a little bit of both. I don't care. No excuses. All 3 of those guys. How could you, dude? That's, you know, a third of the lineup,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big problem here.
That's why it looks so bad right now at the bottom of the order. Not to mention you throw in Beatty, you got nothing from him. You know, center field, you got hurt with Jose Siri. Like, the Mets have gotten 0.
Yeah, I know.
Even if they got 2, it might not be enough. But
I know. There's circumstances. I'm not saying that there's not. I'm not saying that this is the end of the Mets season, but it's just, and it's not even the losses. It's the optics of the losses, and I wonder. Like, I know there's certain times I'm watching my teams, and I'm like, all right, I know that there's a flaw, but that's separate from either an emotional investment or a pride or an energy. Do you like the energy that you see from the Mets now? They seem like they're accepting this.
I think against the Braves play downhill against the Mets.
Phillies too, though.
Mm.
Or the last series, not earlier in the year. Last series too.
I mean, the energy looked pretty good on Saturday night when the Mets were running around the bases left and right with all those homers. I don't know. It's a hard thing to quantify. I never felt once this year that the energy hasn't been there or that they haven't been playing together. during a 9 out of 10, you know, loss streak here, skid. I don't think anything's going to look good. But last night, to me, it wasn't the energy of the team. I mean, I could see why you're saying that. I guess for me, that's not the case. I just think the players aren't getting the job done.
And I just say that because even the way the Braves start the game, right? So Acuña, bullet to right field, first pitch steals. You know, another the next time they have a chance to steal, they steal. You know, Acuña, mm-hmm. I know he's got those the theatrics. And listen, Soto showboats, it is mm-hmm. what it is, even though it bothers me when Acuña does it. And I would put one in his numbers, but they didn't, again, because he did it in Atlanta the other day. I just feel like the Braves are playing a little quicker, a little looser, a little more energy. And by the way, I think that the Braves lineup is better. And I've said that. And I think that the Phillies lineup is better. And the Phillies right now, what are they up, a game and a half? That's obviously nothing at all with all these games mm-hmm. to go. But they're doing this without a superstar in Bryce Harper. So while we sit here and say, you know, well, Vientos will come back, and yeah, he will, but hopefully hits. I know when Bryce Harper comes back, Bryce Harper's going to mash for at least a month and be player of the month, like be in the running with 8, 9, 10 home runs and an OPS of 1,000. I don't know that the Mets have any type of reinforcement like that coming back. Matter of fact, I don't think that they do, which is why I think they got to make a big trade. The Fan. So looked promising out of the chute. Judge going top tank. And he is still obviously right in the mix there for the Triple Crown. He's got his 28th home run. Nobody on base when it happens. So second most in the majors with the home runs, tops in average, 62 ribbies, that's second. But again, you know, the empty at-bats, I mean, 11 strikeouts and only one walk. These are the things that worry me. And it's unavoidable about the New York Yankees here. So as much as I'm sitting here saying the Mets need a big trade, I've been saying now for the last couple of days, I think that the Yankees need a big trade as well. You cannot strike out 11 times. Now, again, it's June. It's the Reds. I understand things happen in baseball. I get it. But you whiff 11 times and you walk once. Like 11 strikeouts, that's not an anomaly. The Yankees strike out a lot. Now, they do other things well, but the strikeouts come in droves and in bushels. And last night, again, like over the weekend, couple of guys on, nobody out, chance to do some damage, nothing.
Yeah, the Yankees are too married to analytics and their approach and their thought process of the type of players that they want. It's been the same issue for years. And until they change that, it's going to be the same result. They'll make the playoffs. They'll go on a run. They're going to fall short of the World Series. It's the same thing. Oh, the expected numbers are so much better. You shouldn't worry about it. What's the expected numbers on guys who whiff all the freaking time? It's too many of the same guys up and down the lineup. It's the same thing. It is infuriating. They get guys on base, have these guys on, two guys on, nobody out, second and third, first and second, man on second, nobody out. They can't score the runs consistently. It's not a this year problem. It's a problem forever. But it's not a big enough problem to prevent them from winning 95 games. So everybody over in the organization, everybody mm-hmm, overlooks mm-hmm. it and say we're going to be fine. Not only that, the lineup stuff with Boone, I thought it was ridiculous that he would sit Volpe the day after Volpe finally gets hot. Like, that's stop. The game is not, you know, managed with a computer. Use your gut. I was disappointed in Boone with that. At least last night, they had Bellinger, Judge, and Stanton in the lineup. I would just leave that alone and go to work from there. But you know, not a big deal. It is a big deal that both these teams have been in the rut, though, together for the last, you know, 2 weeks almost.
Yeah, and I think it's a big deal because the things that have led to the rut, to me, are very real for both of these teams. Now, the one thing I'm going to push back on, I don't think in terms of just from a hitting perspective, because obviously the Yankees are analytically driven to a very strong degree, but I don't think that it's their shortcomings offensively are due to an over-reliance on the analytics. I just think they have too many guys who whiff, man.
Yeah, but isn't that the same? They bring in the same type of player.
Well, but think about this. So if they were overly reliant on the numbers there, they would have tried to bunt, which they did during the losing streak multiple times. They put guys in motion when obviously most of the analytics and modern analytics say running is not really worth it. So they're trying to, you know, break free maybe from the chains of analytics. But again, they got guys at the bottom of the order. And the Yankees right now are relying on a lot of young players to get the job done. And not enough of them have, bottom line.
LeMahieu shouldn't be on the team. We've been saying that for how many years?
I can't even talk about it. Like, he hasn't been as bad as I thought he'd be, quite frankly. But he's still, you're going nowhere if he's playing.
He's still not good. He's old. He just looks slow.
He looks like he's played softball.
You're getting nothing. Exactly.
He looks like a Central Park softball player.
You're getting nothing from him. Goldschmidt, unfortunately, has fallen off the cliff
a little bit. Night. He's hitting 293 now.
Jazz thinks he's Babe Ruth, so he's way too inconsistent. I know since he's come back, his numbers have been pretty good.
They are good.
Same. Yeah, okay.
But his approach with guys on last night, swinging from the heels.
That's the point. So his numbers are good, but you watch him, and it's just when there are guys on in big situations, he doesn't do it consistently enough. Volpe, Wells, Dominguez, same thing with the Yankees. Anyway, BT and Sal on the fan, it's infuriating, really. 888-808.
But saving grace, though, they got arms to keep him in games here. That's the saving grace. I mean, Fried's been good. Rodon's, low threes, going for win number 10 tonight. And you got Hill coming back. Schmidt's been very good. You got some pitchers.
And they're in the American League, or more specifically, the American League East. That helps, too.
I'll take it.
Nobody's looking at it and say, wow, the Yankees are in real trouble with their division. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Sal's in Garden City. What's up, Sal?
Sal.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. I got a couple points. You guys were talking about the Mets lineup before. I agree with you, Sal. I think you're not going to see a big change from the top four of the lineup. Obviously, Nimmo's looked a lot better in the two holes, so I think you keep him there. Lindor leading off, he hasn't been great the past couple weeks. I think he went like a 2-week stretch without even having an RBI here. But obviously you're not going to take him out of that leadoff spot because he's really excelled there the last year. Where I see the lineup potentially making adjustments could be towards the bottom of the order. I think maybe you move McNeil in the 8 hole and have Marte DH every day. He's a proven big leaguer. And Jared Young, for whatever reason, he's not a big leaguer. So wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. I think it could potentially create some more RBI opportunities for Lindor in the top of the lineup.
Well, they've had a good call. Thank you. They've had McNeil down in the 8 spot. And I think they had McNeil a couple times ninth last year. If he's batted around the order over the last couple years.
That's where he should be hitting, 7, 8, or 9. Yeah. The problem is right now they have nobody, so they have to have him hit 5th. I think the Marte point's an interesting one. I'm okay with giving Young a shot, hoping to find lightning in a bottle for a couple of weeks while guys get healthy. Lefty bat that theoretically has some power from the DH spot, but enough. I think we've all seen enough of the Young experience. Just go with Starling Marte. At least Marte's a proven vet, to your point. I don't know what the Mets are doing. Again, that's matchup-driven, having a lefty bat in there against a righty. But I would be surprised, if not shocked, if you see Young again. I think you can see Marte, a run of Starling Marte here.
And I've seen him, I don't know exactly how many games he's played. I've seen him, when he plays, and every time I see him, I still feel like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, I mean,
why is he here?
Oh, well, you know why, though, because they've been hit hard with injury.
I don't know how much, but he looks awful.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks overwhelmed.
Yeah, I would think you're going to see Mauricio, until Vientos comes back, then probably Mauricio's going to go down, which he should, because they need to, build him up. You got to develop these prospects, which is why Acuna went down. But I would think you're going to see Marte, and let's say Vientos comes back. And again, I don't know when. They were hoping he's going to be back last night. Let's say Vientos comes back, Mauricio down. You're probably going to see a lineup with Vientos and Marte in there. And all of a sudden, that looks a little bit different. And then maybe you move McNeil down, and that could lengthen the lineup out. But something's got to give here because they've been awful. Ray is in Shirley. What's up, Ray?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. What's happening?
I got two quick points for you if you just give me 10 seconds. OPS Plus is the best measurement in MLB for anybody. 100 is the league average.
Yep.
You're 6-9 on our Mets. Tyron Taylor, 82. Jared Young, 85. Torrens, 85. Beatty, 87. All four well below league average players, and that's what I think is affecting this lineup. I'm not asking for the big trade like BT, but go get me that Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe type, average type player, because we keep talking about, well, Lindor hasn't had an RBI in 2 weeks. Who the hell's on base for the guy? There's nobody on base for him. So right, go get average guys at the bottom of the lineup where we come back to the top. Lindor is a run producer. Traditionally, he's coming up consistently. One out, two outs, and nobody on. And it's killing this team. Just go get some average players. I'm not asking for the moon and the stars. Thanks so much, guys, and I'll continue to listen.
Thank you, Ray. I mean, listen, you think about the I'm not going to move Lindor for the top spot. Ideally, you get some 7, 8, 9 action, and he's got some better opportunities. But think about this. Lindor is a pure, terrific hitter with wheels who has shown big game chops and big moment chops. We know that, right? So if you start at leadoff, you play every game, and I know he'll get 1 or 2 off, that's 162 at-bats out of about 700 where you're getting up with nobody on base. Yeah. And now you factor in just the black hole, the abyss that has become the lower third/fourth of the Mets lineup. I mean, I'm just guessing. I'd have to guess that he gets up with nobody on base probably more than 55-60% of the time.
That's why I agree with Ray about what is needed right now. David Stearns has been excellent about doing this since he's been here, raising the floor. Forget about the ceiling. See, when you say you want a big move, you want to raise the ceiling. Right now, the Mets need to raise the floor. Their bottom four or five in the lineup is minor league. If you just raise that floor a little bit to get some professional bats in there, and they will by getting some guys back, but if you go out there and make a move like the Kelly Johnson or Juan Uribe trade that Ray referenced there, that is going to help. That's what they need now. At least a move or two that shouldn't cost them much to raise the floor in that lineup. To take it on water.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, and I know it's not, it doesn't really matter yet because they're still very much far behind the Mets, or very far behind the Mets. But, you know, Acuna's come back. He's swinging. A couple of years ago, had 70-something steals. You know that Olsen's an absolute horse. Ozuna destroys fastballs. He's a home run. Austin Riley's tremendous. I mean, Albies is down, a little bit of a down year, but good. Murphy's got power. It's just a better lineup. Like, the Braves lineup is good, man. I think people forgot that. And, oh, yeah, by the way, their top three pitchers are terrific.
Yeah, but they're still, you know what?
I know.
Five games under 500, yeah, nine games back.
For now.
So, yeah.
Do you think that which of the two do you think is more likely to happen? They go on a vicious charge and are right there with the Mets and the Phillies, or they fall back and they disappear?
I think they're going to fall back. I don't believe in the Braves this year.
Can't see that at all. Well, I'd be stunned.
I mean, it'd be nice for them to get going at some point. It's almost July.
Well, I mean, they're beating the Mets lately,
that's
so
the
they're
only
starting.
Team they can be.
It's a good team to beat when they're in first place.
Think about this.
Or
they're,
were in first
they're
place.
Five games under 500. They're 4-0 against the Mets. They just lost two out of three to the crappy Marlins.
I know. The Marlins series was a bit of a kick in the stones. I got you.
This
if you're
is
a Braves
different
fan.
From 2022 when they caught fire to a ridiculous level from May, whatever, early June on. I'm not seeing that yet from the Braves.
Oof, I still think it's a top lineup. I really do. Top three, top four.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls when we come back. We'll get the Knicks into the conversation at some point as well. 888-808-1019.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.